Well, thank you, Brother John, and good morning, brothers and sisters. This exhortation is entitled, Follow Me, something that Jesus said. And can we please turn to John chapter 1, please, the Gospel. We'll begin with a question. If you've got red lettering printed, the words of Jesus is easy, a bit harder for those that haven't. What is the first recorded words that Jesus spoke that's recorded in John's Gospel? First recorded words.
Whom do you seek?
Whom do you seek? Thank you, Leo. You got a red letter Bible?
Yeah.
What do you seek? And that's in verse 38. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, this is the two disciples of John, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? Jesus' second recorded words are the answer to these two disciples' question. They say, Where are you staying? He saith unto them, Well, come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt, in verse 39, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Come and see, come and follow me. That's what Jesus is saying. It's a personal invitation, isn't it? Given to these two disciples of John. And for each of us, we're asked exactly the same thing. Come and see the things that I have for you, said Jesus. It's a challenge. It's a responsibility. It's an encouragement. But it remains personal and individual. Well, the first words of Jesus in verse 38 are a probing question, don't you think? He doesn't say, as I would probably say, who are you looking for? Jesus is, in a sense, saying, what is it that you want from me? What can I do for you? And just remember, Jesus said a similar thing to the blind Bartimaeus on the way up to Jerusalem. Sort of a strange question, really, a blind man. What is it that you want? Jesus, come on, he's blind. But of course, Jesus is probing Bartimaeus' faith, isn't he? What is it that you want, Bartimaeus? Well, while we're on to questions, let's turn to John 21, please. And the last recorded words of Jesus. John notes it for us. John chapter 21, the last recorded words of Jesus. He says it twice, actually. I've got verse 19. This he spake, said Jesus, signifying, John says, this spake he, signifying what death he should glorify God. When he had spoken this, he saith unto him, that's the Peter, follow me. And essentially that's the last words of Jesus. But we know that Peter had a problem with this, didn't he? Well, what about this man, Lord? That was Peter's question. And we know that Jesus again clarifies and tells Peter, in a sense, don't be distracted, Peter. Don't get distracted. And he says, now you follow me, in verse 22. At the end there, follow thou me. And then John goes on to explain a bit more about what Jesus was meaning. But essentially, the first and last words of Jesus, as John says, what are you looking for? And follow me. Last recorded. Well, we've looked at three phrases, if you like, of the Lord. What are you looking for? What are you seeking? Come and see. And follow me. And I think John is, in a sense, recording a framework that is our discipleship. And I'd like for us this morning just to examine briefly in John chapter 1 what I think are four steps that Jesus is giving us. We've looked at three, and we just want to go through in order in John chapter 1 and consider what it is that our discipleship involves, what it is that Jesus is calling us to. So John chapter 1, I'm going to give them a name as a step, if you like, just perhaps for convenience. Firstly, in verse 36 and 37, this is John. And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. So that's the two. They're directed by John to see this is the Lamb of God, and they followed Jesus. So the first step that I can see there is it's action. Action is required. You need a response. John's saying, look, there is the Lamb of God. And they could have thought, well, I'm happy here. But no, they made inquiry to look at following. They needed to weigh up the risks, didn't they? These two disciples of John were encouraged to look to Jesus. If he was the Lamb of God, then he was God's providing, and he could save them from their sins. The next one I see in verse 38 is it's a call from Jesus. It's a commitment. Jesus is asking for commitment to know why. Why it is that we want to follow Jesus? What are our motives? What are our hopes? What is it you're looking for? What do you seek? Verse 38. The next aspect, number three, in discipleship, involves fellowship. And this is what Peter, oh, this is not, I'm saying Peter, this is what Andrew and the other disciple wanted. They wanted to know where Jesus was staying. We want to be with Jesus, to abide or stay close by him. Well, even if it is a bit late, it's a tenth hour. Perhaps it's not that convenient. But we want to know where you are, Jesus. We want to know where you stay. We want to spend time with you. And the last step, of course, is the ongoing, isn't it? Number four, to follow. In verse 39, he said unto them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the tenth hour. It requires us to follow. Jesus will invite us to where he is. Come and see is actually a wonderful invitation from the Lord. Well, see me tomorrow. Or give me a call sometime. No, it's right then and there. Jesus will ask us to follow if we have the desire, if we have the commitment. If we've made the action, if we've made the attempt to walk after Jesus, we've made a commitment, we want fellowship, then the invitation is there. He won't turn us away, and of course he hasn't turned any of us away. So it's a wonderful thing. Well, just as a side thought, all of this action from the two disciples, and of course we need to put ourselves in that position too, don't we? All of the action that was given and required by those two was based on what John the Baptist had said, isn't it? He had said and was saying about Jesus. And we can call this an introduction, which is always there, always before we take the four steps of discipleship. Who introduced you to Jesus? John introduced people to Jesus. He pointed them out and said, "This is the important one. I'm not so important. I'm here to introduce." I'm preparing you for him. I'm preparing the way. John 1:15, John bear witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." In verse 23, "Who are you, John?" He's not going to tell them who he is. He's going to tell them what he is. He's the voice. "Make straight the way of the Lord." I'm here to help fill up those valleys, to bring down those mountains, to smooth out those crooked ways so there's a straight way to the Lord. No hindrance. I'm baptizing. In verse 29, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And just notice the first action on the part of Andrew that's recorded when he had begun his journey with the Lord. He first findeth, in verse 41, his own brother Simon, and said unto him, "We have found Messiah," which is being interpreted, the Christ. And so Andrew did for Simon Peter, his brother, what John Baptist had done for him. He introduced his brother to Jesus. Well, just to think further on this, after all that the disciples had experienced over 3.5 years in both the good and the bad, the joyful and the sorrowful, still the parting words of Jesus in John 21 are, "Follow me. Keep on going. Stay with it. I'm going away, but I've left you a clear path. You know where you're going. Don't get distracted. Don't give up." To follow Jesus is, in a sense, saying, "You need to let me lead." We'll be looking a little bit at this afternoon in the seminars. Jesus said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." Well, where was Peter when Jesus said that? Well, perhaps he was out in front. Certainly he was out in front metaphorically. Perhaps he was there physically as well. So he wasn't letting Jesus lead. And you will notice as we read through the Gospel of John in the next week or so, that this whole concept of following Jesus is a real puzzle. It's actually a stumbling block to many people. To follow Jesus is one thing. We can do that. But where are you going, Lord? We want to know. I just want to look briefly at John chapter 7 in today's reading. It's an example of this question. Verse 33, Jesus said unto them, to the Jews, "Yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, there you cannot come." Jesus has asked us to follow him. But to the hard-hearted, unbelieving among the Jewish people, Jesus also says, "Well, you can't follow me. You don't know where I'm going. You will look for me, you won't find me. And where I am, you cannot come." And of course, Jesus isn't speaking about his death. He isn't speaking about his resurrection or his ascension to heaven, somewhere that they couldn't go. What he is saying, I think, is, "You're not looking to follow me in faith. You're not looking to obey. You have no desire to commit. You just want to come along for the ride and see the miracles and pick holes in what I'm doing. You have no desire to commit to God's ways and true fellowship. My journey, my faith, my place is one of self-sacrifice," says Jesus, "and a love for the Father. And you can't come there. That's where I am, and you cannot come." And of course the Jews took it literally. Well, that's the way they explained it anyway to themselves, to make them feel better. Where is it that he goes that we can't go? He must be speaking about the Gentiles. That's what it is. We can't go to the Gentiles. That's where Jesus is going. Verse 35. Where will he go that we cannot find him? Will he go to disperse among the Gentiles to teach them? Well, Jesus will say a very similar thing in chapter 8, in verse 21. Again to the Jews. John 8, 21, then said Jesus unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Where I go, you cannot come. And again, I think Jesus is talking about discipleship, the commitment and the faith to follow. This is why you cannot come. You'll die in your sins. You're not willing to give up yourself and follow me. You'll die trying to do it by yourself. And again, the Jews completely misunderstood Jesus, or this is how they salved their conscience and explained away what Jesus was saying. Where is it that he will go that we can't come? Is he going to commit suicide? Is he going to kill himself, they say. Verse 22. Will he kill himself? Because he saith, where I go, you cannot come. But let us not be discouraged. Jesus doesn't want to drive us away. He wants us to follow him. And not just on a Sunday. He wants us every day there on the way with him. We know, don't we, brothers and sisters, that we can't be part-time disciples. It's in the everyday things of life, the little things, that Jesus says, follow me. Or, let me lead. And of course we need faith to be led by someone. Following is like, well, that's my thing I'm doing. But if you turn around and say, let Jesus lead, that implies more faith, doesn't it? Oh, and certainly we'll fail. We know that. If the 12 failed, well, what of ourselves? But it's not the end of the journey. It's an important part of it. As we'll discover shortly with Peter, it's an important part of his journey to discover and learn what Jesus has called us to. And of course, that he will never leave or forsake us. Jesus asks us to commit to him and follow him, but as we've considered, it is a paradox. He says also to the disciples, you can't follow me. Where I am, you cannot come. And as I've said, the only way perhaps to understand what Jesus is meaning is, in my mind, to see that Jesus is asking for a full commitment, something that a lot of people aren't prepared to do in their personal lives. Jesus can't lead us. We get in the way. And let's just look briefly at the last two of these occasions in John chapter 13. So, John chapter 13, there are two more times when Jesus talks about where I'm going, you cannot come. And it's here in the upper room in verse 33. Little children, says Jesus, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me. And as I said to the Jews back in John 8, where I go, you cannot come. So now, he says, I say to you 11. After 3.5 years with the Lord, they still, in Jesus' mind, couldn't fully commit to the following in faith. They were largely distracted about who was the greatest, who was the closest to Jesus. Why can't we do those miracles, Lord? The things you're saying, Lord, did you know that they upset the Pharisees? They're hard sayings. So in verse 76, Simon Peter said unto Jesus, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered, Simon, where I go, you cannot follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Again, Jesus says, where I go, you cannot follow me. And of course, directed now personally at Peter. Even such a man as Peter was unable to follow Jesus. But notice the wonderful encouragement that Jesus holds up for Peter. And let's finish what Jesus actually said to Peter. You cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterwards. And I think what Jesus is saying is, Peter, you are too distracted to go with me now, to follow me, but later you will understand. Later you will experience the resurrection, and then you'll know. You will understand my purpose and love for you, my disciples. You will understand my love for the Father. And then, says Jesus, then you will be able to follow. And I think at this point it's helpful to insert what the Gospel of Luke says. Don't turn there, I think you know these words well. Said at an identical time, Luke 22, the Lord said to Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. And Luke says that at the same time as John is recording what he says here in verse 36. You shall follow me afterwards. When you're converted, Peter, when it is you've returned to me, then you can follow me. Well, let's just finish then, brothers and sisters, with Thomas puzzling over Jesus' similar expression in chapter 14. And in verse 3, Jesus says to the disciples, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know. And the way, you know. Well, Thomas has a problem with that, doesn't he? And he puzzles over it. Thomas speaks for the 11. Or speaks with the 12, really, because I'm sure Judas didn't know either. He says in verse 5, Lord, we don't know. We don't know where you're going. So, how can we know the way? Well, let's be encouraged then by Jesus' answer in verse 6. We, all of us here know, we know the way. We know where Jesus is going. We know the way of the cross. Not the way to the cross, the way of the cross. The cross involves pain. It involves hardship. Of course, it involves commitment. It involves love. It's voluntary. So Jesus says in verse 6, to Thomas and to the other 10, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Jesus has gone before each of us, brothers and sisters, to prepare a place. And of course, these emblems of bread and wine on the table before us remind us of that service. We want to follow Jesus so that we may abide with him and his family.